Good day. Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, to the fastest growing, and to the largest segment of society, whether most people in the media or politics want to realize it or not. Most of you have come to know that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are rotten. They're corrupt. They have become counterproductive, and they cannot be fixed. They do not deserve your loyalty, appreciation, support, or involvement. Our phone number, if you'd like to engage in this discussion about these things, and about the only solution, the only remedy that is available to any of us, is toll-free. It's 877-300-7645. I am Yada. Last year, there was a greater progression of Arctic ice and a longer retention of Arctic ice into the spring and summer than at any time in recorded history. It's happened again. This time, though, the journalist that is reporting the news about the advance of Arctic ice must not have read the news about the record advance of Arctic ice last year. But nonetheless, I'm going to share this story with you, and then I'm going to share some insights with you that I think are important relative to the liars that occupy the White House and media. It reads, "The bounce back in the extent of sea ice in the Arctic this summer was reflected also in the volume of ice," as if they could be different. Data from Europe's Cirostat spacecraft suggests there was almost 9,000 cubic kilometers of ice at the end of this year's melt season. Now, what's interesting here, of course, is that the pseudoscientists who have been sold, who have sold their souls to the devil for grants to join the bandwagon of man-made global warming, and when that didn't progress as advertised, climate change, have told us that, in fact, NASA even affirmed the lie that by last year, that the poles would be free of ice. They said that, yeah, global warming is such a terrible thing. They said this about 20 years ago. As we monitor the increase in the Earth's temperature caused by man's burning of fossil fuels, that the poles will be ice-free. Hey, we're going to melt off you. We're going to have your Northwest Passage. You'd be wearing your swim trunks and bikinis in Iceland. Not only didn't it turn out that way, we've had a greater volume of Arctic ice, and it has continued to press south and remain intact longer, all the way through the warming time of the year. And so the data continues to befuddle the pseudoscientists who have sold their soul to the devil for grant money. Sad, huh? There is no man-made global warming. It is a complete and utter farce. That is not to say that the Earth isn't in a warming period, but that's only in a very long sense. The Earth has been in warming and cooling cycles, has endured warming and cooling cycles for millions of years. They last on average about 300 years. The factors that influence them precede man's burning of fossil fuel by many millions of years. Man has no influence over them whatsoever. The reason that the inconvenient truth lie of Albert Gore seemed plausible was that he showed early photographs of glaciers circa 1850 and 1875 as photography was first coming into vogue, and then showed pictures of them today, and they have retreated. And he said, that's proof positive. No, it isn't. The Little Ice Age, the last period of global cooling, ended around 1850 to 1875. We began a warming period at that time. The glaciers retreat during these warming periods, and then they grow again during the cooling periods, which always follow. That's the truth. Now, one of the things that has just buffaloed the pseudoscientists and the politicians that are sponsoring them, the New World Order types, is during the last 16 to 17 years, the Earth is actually cooled. It's cooling during a warming cycle, which means if man is having an effect, the effect we're having is the opposite of what it's claimed. The effect we're having is the effect that is shown out, borne out by this Arctic ice. We're cooling the Earth. The last 2 years have been the coldest winters on record. The Earth is cooling. We finally came up with the ability about 15 to 20 years ago, to measure the Earth's temperature at sea and on land in hundreds of places around the globe, and to feed that data reliably to satellites and then back to land-based recording stations. Well, once we came up with that ability, we found that the Earth began to cool. And prior to that time, we have ClimateGate, where the data did not support the screaming protestations of the pseudoscientists, so they destroyed it. Well, there is 50% more residual ice at the end of this year's melt season than there was corresponding to the period in 2012. Now, you can't say there was more than 2013, because in 2013 we set an all-time record, at least for the period that man has been able to measure such things. Now, this journalist, because the media is in cahoots with the politicians and with the pseudoscientists on this issue, say this rare piece of good news isn't. You know, the guy that founded the Weather Channel, renowned meteorologist, one of the most acclaimed meteorologists in the world today. He came out about a month and a half ago and said, you know, this whole man-made global warming issue is completely contrived. Yesterday, a large and extensive research paper was released on the drought in California. By the way, the drought is over in California. If we need anything now, it's not water. We need an ark. And we're about to be pounded here after receiving 5 inches of rain last week with another 5 inches this week. Moreover, my wife and I just drove across the country, and 3 days of driving, it rained on us the entire time across the entire width of the United States. Now, this paper that was released today on the California drought said that the issues had nothing to do with fossil fuels, had nothing to do with humankind, that there was nothing man had done that had caused it, nor nothing man could do that would abate it, that it was simply the same kind of long-term cycles, El Niño and Las Niñas. It's the Spanish word for the child, and either boy or girl, one being warm, one being cooler. And it's just simply a term that has been used to describe the warming and relative cooling of the currents on water temperatures in the Pacific Ocean that affect whether or not it will rain or be a drought period in California, which receives most of its moisture from the west, because that's the way the Earth rotates. So he came out with a report and said that nothing. I mean, scientists studied it and came up with the conclusion that it was not influenced by man. The politicians and the media, of course, immediately had a conniption fit. And said, well, I didn't take into account, and it's irresponsible. Man-made global warming, since it hasn't occurred, and now climate change, is a guise of one world type government and control freak environmentalists, super liberals, who wish to redistribute the Earth's assets. They wish to take money from those who are productive and give it to those who are not, and to use the ruse of global warming as the justification for doing so. It is nothing more than a control mechanism. That's all it is. And anytime you hear a politician talk about it and our responsibility, they are advocating the control mechanism. And redistribution of wealth simply makes everyone poor. When you give people something that they have not earned, they turn into Michael Browns. They go off and rob convenience stores. They loot. They turn into the thugs that have swarmed into Ferguson. The morons that are protesting in Berserkly in Oakland, California. The idiots that decided that they would protest the hurricane in New Orleans by rioting, by looting. You get people stealing, robbing, looting, because they have no appreciation for the effort that is required to do things the responsible way, the right way. You destroy the character, forever impoverishing the recipient of wealth redistribution, while eliminating the incentive to produce from those you are robbing. It is a failed concept. It destroys everything. The moral fabric of the country, people's ability to be responsible, individuals who receive the money, their character, their conscience is seared, and those who have the money taken from them lose all incentive. It is a horrible scam, and this concept of climate change, which was once man-made global warming, is a farce to facilitate an international implication of this. This officer shot a suspect in a Brooklyn synagogue early Tuesday. Now, while in this particular case, I'm glad the man is dead. And I don't much care that he was shot. But he probably should be alive today, and he's not. You know, there were other ways to render the knife-wielding Muslim incapable of harming anyone else than a gun. But anyway, this man had stabbed a worshiper in the temple. The authorities ordered the suspect to drop his knife several times, according to the police, adding that more officers arrived and also demanded that the suspect drop the knife. Police say that the suspect placed the weapon on a nearby table, but quickly picked it up again and lunged at one of the officers who shot him once in the torso. He later died. In this particular case, the perpetrator of the crime, and this is a lot different than robbing a convenience store. This is a lot different than selling individual cigarettes. This guy purposefully went into the synagogue to kill Jews. And the first person that he stabbed was an Israeli student. And he screamed at the time, I want to kill the Jew. So, glad he's dead. But this is a very different story than what we have been reading. I noticed last night that LeBron James, and I was told by Scott that he was following what Derrick Rose had done, but that he was wearing a T-shirt that said, "I can't breathe," in his pregame warm-ups. Good for him. There are very few times where I'm going to say I agree with those who are taking a stand in what is perceived to be a racial issue. Now, in this particular case, I don't see it as a racial issue. LeBron didn't present it as a racial issue. I see this as a police are out of control. We have a catastrophic problem in America issue. And when the police officer who killed the New York man with his chokehold was not indicted by the grand jury, I can tell you that I absolutely will not return to New York. I've been in and out of New York and stayed at its hotels and ate at its restaurants and gone to its theaters more times than I can count. I will never return. I made the same determination with Italy, with their trial and jurisprudence over what they call the angel face killings, where they convicted a woman without any evidence. I don't want to subject myself to a country or a region or a city where I can't trust their jurisprudence. I can't trust their policing. And when in New York City, the officer, rather than being tried for murder, which is what he should have been indicted for, was instead exonerated by the grand jury and not indicted, I can tell you that's a place I don't want to go. You can't trust the police officers there. You can't trust the judicial system there. I'm not going there. Now, if you want to take your life in your hands, go right ahead. I'm not. I'd say the same thing is true in Ferguson. I think that Michael Brown was a thug, and he brought his death upon himself. And the world is not bereaved by his departure. Darren Wilson made many, many bad decisions. Many. And so did the police department and the people in St. Louis. They've passed laws that give police officers the right to use their weapons under almost any circumstance. It makes them all vulnerable to the police in those communities. They're putting their own lives at stake, and with an inability to ever hold the officer accountable. I'm not going through St. Louis. Every time I cross country, I drive through St. Louis so that I can end up driving through the Rockies on my return. This trip, I didn't do it. I took I-40 and went well south of there. Can't trust them. Not going to subject my wife and I to them. The world's changing, and it's not for the good. Dateline Washington, D.C. For 4 years, according to the Central Intelligence Agency, no one from the CIA ever came to the Oval Office to give President George Bushwhacker Bush a full briefing on what was happening in the dark dungeons of Afghanistan and throughout Europe. For 4 years, interrogators stripped naked, slammed and choked their prisoners, sodomized them, without the president being told exactly what was going on. If you believe that, you're a nincompoop. By the time the CIA director came in April of 2006, to give Mr. Bush the agency's first briefing about the interrogation techniques, let's call them torture, that it had been using since 2002, more than 36 prisoners had already been subjected to them. Not 36, many times that. And when told about one detainee being chained to the ceiling of his cell, clothed in a diaper and forced to urinate and defecate on himself, even a president known for his dead or alive swagger expressed some discomfort. Eerie. Senate Intelligence Committee has raised questions about what the president knew and what the CIA told him about an interrogation program that has tarred the United States as a nation that tortures. The emails, memos, reports, and other documents examined by the Senate committee collectively portray a White House that approved the brutal questioning of suspects, but was kept in the dark about many aspects of the program, including whether it actually worked. The 6,000-page report concludes that there was absolutely no benefit from torture. None. It's just like the NSA's spying on Americans and paying attention to your every phone call, your every internet click, your every statement. There's not a single act that has been thwarted by it. Not one. All of the torture that America did around the world did produce a single sliver of benefit. All it did is destroy America's reputation. It exposed America's rotten soul. A nation that tortures, an institution that tortures, is reprehensible. You know, we have these television commercials on behalf of the Army and the Navy, a force for good, join the world's best team. Rubbish. We have become rotten to the core, corrupt, disgusting, reprehensible. There are very few things in this world worse than torture. Our own Constitution prohibits it. There are no benefits for torture. All it does is create great agony, often for innocent people. And it absolutely destroys the credibility and the culture, the society, the soul, the very character of the institution or nature that perpetrates it. The Roman Catholic Church can never be looked upon as good, as civil, as a result of perpetrating torture for many centuries. This is a blight on the United States that should and will never go away. We sanctioned torture. We got nothing for it. Now, you can have two conclusions here. I'm going to tell you which one's right, but I'm just going to allow you to choose between them. Either George W. Bush, his reprehensible Vice President Dick Cheney, his administration ordered the CIA to deploy torture, to elicit confessions that would lead to victories and the misnomer of a war on terrorism, at which case the blame falls directly on the Bush administration and its complete lack of character and unwillingness to be responsible for its own orders. And in that case, if you're a Republican, if you voted for him, shame on you. If you support him, shame on you. That the CIA is a rogue organization, that it engages in the most inhuman of activities, that its work is counterproductive, that it is making America more vulnerable, that it is completely out of control. Those are your choices. Now, we know that the CIA deliberately and knowingly lied to the U.S. Senate and then spied on the senators responsible for overseeing it so that they would not intervene. report includes proof of that. So, since the CIA did not have the discretion, and no one in the CIA could exercise the judgment to say, Mr. President, you cannot give us an order that violates our own constitution that you were sworn to uphold, and cruel and unusual punishment, torture, is not prohibited, is not permitted. They could have had a collective conscience. Somebody within that organization could have had a conscience and been able to exercise good judgment and said, wait a minute, mankind has been torturing his foes, perceived or otherwise, for thousands of years, and there is no evidence whatsoever that it has ever produced a benefit, and of course it destroys the credibility, it destroys the character, it destroys the reputation of the institution or country using the tactic. Torturer. If you are a torturer, you're subhuman. Nobody in the CIA was capable of making that determination. Whether they chose to do this on their own initiative or were told to do so, it really doesn't matter. They ought not be allowed to continue. The organization should be shut down. There are things worse than rape. There are things worse than pedophilia. There are things even worse than murder. And sanctioned torture is one of them. So it doesn't matter if the president ordered them to do so or not. From the CIA's perspective, it should be shuttered. Shut it down. It has been a blight on America since it was filled with Nazis at its inception. Shut it down. We'd all be safer. Next. You need to face the fact that the likelihood of the president knowing is overwhelming. And if he didn't know, then he is not exonerated. You know, when you're head of a corporation and somebody does something that's horrible in your corporation. Let's say that you're head of GE and somebody designs a starting mechanism that leads to the deaths of a score or more of your customers. The defense, I just didn't know, won't fly. You're responsible. It's your damn responsibility to know. When you're president of the United States and you're getting intelligence briefing and you've got the director of the CIA in your office once a week giving you briefings, and you're deploying American troops around the world, and your defense is, doesn't fly. Now, I'm convinced that he not only knew, but that he gave the order. Because we know that the justification for the torture techniques that were used at Abu Ghraib came directly from the Attorney General in the Bush administration. But folks, it doesn't matter. The other aspect of America that we need to address is that our politicians, right to the very top, are despicable. Reprehensible. They have discredited you. If you're an American, you have been defamed. You have been discredited. You have been tarred. You've had your country devalued. You have now been associated with the most despicable of all acts, torture. If you're an American, you are perceived as a torturer because of the actions of your government. The president, of course, came out and said, you know, the difference between America and other countries, because all the countries, you know, do things that they're not proud of, is that America exposes and faces its past and deals with it. That's crap. America shoves more rubbish under the rug, hides more fact than probably any country on earth. The only reason this report came out is that Democrats wanted their guy and their party to look good in comparison to the Republicans. Yeah, the Democrats have really taken a pounding here recently. So they have nothing that they can stand upon that says, you know, we're not as bad as you think we are. And so the only way that somebody as reprehensible as Democrats in Washington and in places of power, the only way that they can look good is by comparison to something that's worse. And so this report was released to tar and feather the Bush administration for authorizing the most heinous of human behaviors and discrediting and devaluing the United States in the process. CNN is reporting that a woman who allegedly stabbed a U.S. teacher at a mall in the United Arab Emirates committed a personal terrorist act, according to the UAE official news agency, which is nothing more than a spokesperson for the dictator. The official said she logged on to terrorist websites recently, according to the agency. The suspect, who has not been identified, is accused of killing the 47-year-old American teacher, Ebolia Ryan, last week in the restroom of an upscale mall in Abu Dhabi. The accused is a female Emirates national of Yemeni descent. Now, she's a Muslim. She's a Muslim. She killed the American because she's a Muslim. There are 1.5 billion Muslims in the world today. When a Muslim commits a terrorist act in accord with their Quran and Hadith by emulating their lone prophet, Muhammad, it's not a personal terrorist act. A personal terrorist act is somebody's got this whacked out view of the world, and based upon them being either insane or deluded with their own personal, upside down, sideways perspective. That's a personal act of terrorism. When the Zodiac bomber killed, that was a personal, well, and he killed, innocent civilians, it was a personal terrorist act. The kind of people that you would label personal terrorists are those who are part of tiny cults. Either they're loners or they're part of really obscure cults. And then you could say that when they act, it's a personal act of terror if they attack an innocent civilian for political or religious purposes. But when somebody who represents the world's second largest religion, Islam, of which there's 1.5 billion of them on the planet, when somebody representing a religion that is responsible for 99.9% of all terrorist acts commits a terrorist act, it ain't personal. It's Islamic. You know, the Islamic State isn't obscure. They're not unique. They're really no different than Hezbollah, except one Sunni and the other Shia. They're no different than Fatah or Hamas or the Oscar Martyrs Brigade or Al-Shabaab, the lads in Somalia. No different. They're no different than the Muslim Brotherhood. They're no different than the Taliban. They're all the same. They're all fundamentalist Islamic organizations. And by being unwilling to associate them under the one common denominator that unites all of them, we get this kind of stupidity from CNN. Yeah, I understand that CNN is simply reporting what the news agency said, but there's no one at CNN smart enough to say, wait a minute, that's a bunch of rubbish. Police say that they think Ryan, who had been who was the mother of three children, did not know the attacker. That's the nature of Islam. Do you think that the Boston Muslims knew any of the women they killed or any of those whose bodies they mutilated? No, it's just religious rage. It's just the nature of what Islam does to people. Her death came 2 months after the U.S. Embassy in Abu Dhabi issued a statement warning U.S. citizens of an anonymous internet post that encouraged attack against teachers at American and other international schools. Gee, the post that the American Embassy said was an anonymous internet post. Do you think it might have been from an Islamic website? Gee, I wonder.